everybody. This is episode 396 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Jimenez, and today I'll be talking about a few indie games, and that's it for the most part. The Apple event is happening right now, and they are in the process of talking about the iPhone X, which I am just looking forward to seeing what the price is when all is said and done. I'm assuming it'll be a nice $999 for the base model with the littlest amount of memory. And who knows, maybe a $1,300 one for the max or $1,200. Either way, it's ridiculous. And I'm happy with my iPhone S. I like my phone small. I like them simple. I don't need all this tech thrown in there. Unless the thing has incredible battery life, I don't really care. But whatever, I don't need to upgrade, and I have no plans to upgrade. So that is that. Moving on, before I want to talk about the games, which is all I have to talk about today, no anime or movies or any of that jazz, other than to say I still find Restaurant to Another World so incredibly boring, and Love and Lies is just so stupid and ridiculous. Can't wait for those shows to end. But I don't know if people know what Twine is. But it is an, I guess, software. It's an open source bit of software that you can play around with on their website, on the web, or download it and run it as a regular piece of software, a regular program. But it basically, from what little I know, allows you to create stories with branching paths. So it allows you to tell non-linear interactive stories. So basically it lets you create choose your own adventures with very easy to learn controls in that. You know, I think you can change things up a bit, but you know, you can just click things or whatever. And I'm thinking about writing some stories with it, because I've been wanting to write choose-your-own-adventure stories for a while now, and I think I should, and I can use this to do it. But I was also thinking that it could be interesting, though I don't know if anyone else would actually find this interesting or useful or desirable, but I was thinking about maybe trying some simple Twine reviews of games or, you know, anime, whatever. And it would be somewhat set up like, okay, you give a description of the game. In so-and-so, in Fortnite, you play as a human character who is battling zombies of different forms and trying to help survivors, etc., blah, blah, blah. I don't want to talk about Fortnite, even though I'm going to be talking about Fortnite in a few minutes. And then you say, if this sounds, does this sound appealing to you? And then you have yes or no. No, then the review is over. You hit yes, then it goes into more detail, you know, as to what the game is. So Fortnite is a third-person shooter with this kind of mechanic and this mechanic. Do you like these types of games? Yes, no, and so on and so forth. And I'm just curious if something like that, a bit more thought out than just this off the top of my head random horribleness. But I'm curious if there would be an audience for that. And they could be very, very simple, though. Just, you know, a basic, do you like this? In a way, it would be an expulsion, an elaboration of the generic, very overused phrase, if you like games like blah, 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 then you'll like this game. You know, if you like Diablo, you're gonna like Victor Vron. If you like XCOM, you're gonna like Mario plus Rabbids. If you like NBA 2K 17, you're gonna like NBA 2K18. But I was just thinking about that and if there would be an audience, and I think I might just do a test one on something at some point and put it out there and see what people think. Because I think at least that it's interesting in just the fact that it's different. I don't know of anyone who does reviews in that way. And it could be my shtick if I do it and find in that there's an audience for it. Anyway, moving on to Fortnite. So my Xbox had some issues again where it wouldn't load up and I had to reset it, and then I had to reset it again, and I had to do it about 3 times in a 24-hour period, and I was getting very concerned. I was ready to send it off, but I figured I would try one last thing, which was a full factory reset, removing all apps and games, and it has been going strong ever since then, but I'm very, very paranoid. I haven't had any issues at all, but I also didn't have any issues for a week or so after the first reset, after my first scare and when I left the preview program. But yeah, that's a bit scary because I love my Xbox more than anything. That more than any other video game system, in large part because I love the controller. So if I didn't have my Xbox, I'd be very sad. And also, the majority of the review code I get is for Xbox. So that would also be a bit of a concern. But for a very long time, probably 2 weeks or longer, I could not even run Fortnite. It would not load up at all. It would try to load up. It would give me the little place card or whatever. And it would tell me it took too long to load. Try again or whatever. And it would just never load. But finally, it started working again. And it seems to be more stable. I've never run into an issue logging into the game either. It tells me, oh, we weren't able to verify that you purchased through Microsoft or whatever, and it's whatever. It just says press OK, and then it loads fine. So I never have to go back and forth or do any hard resets. It just has that little error code, but it never actually prevents me from playing. So that's nice that I never have an issue actually logging in. And then the XP bug that was only giving me out a very, very, very little amount of XP for completing missions in areas that were around or higher than my level, seems to be fixed. I haven't had one mission where I did not get the right amount of XP. And yeah, I still enjoy the core gameplay. I just think it's disgusting the way they've released it, given that it's early access and they don't make that super clear and they released it at retail and all that shit. That still bothers me. And something new that really bothers me, but I have not tested it out yet, is that they just updated the console versions with version 1.6, I believe it is, and that has added a competitive mode, which is a Battle Royale PvP mode, which I don't know the details of it, but my biggest concern with it is that the game is very microtransaction heavy and is very pay to win. But until this point, it didn't really bother me because you were only paying to improve your character and your items and all that kind of crap in a game that was cooperative only, or you could solo it if you want, but that becomes more difficult on certain types of missions. But now that they've added a competitive mode and may add more in the future, if they don't do something in that mode to nerf weapons or gear or do something that makes it so you can't utilize what you've paid to get better equipment and all that stuff, then it just makes it all the more nasty and disgusting, because then it really is pay to win in a competitive fashion and not just a, hey, if you want to make the game easier for you or you want to upgrade and earn whatnot at a quicker pace, you can pay, but you don't have to. Really, it's I don't like it, even though I just don't like it. Anyway, So I played a few indie games since the last show, and the first one I want to talk about is Maze. And this is a first-person adventure game, walking simulator, kind of, I guess, where you are just some random guy, as far as I know it, who ends up in this corn maze, and there's a barn and whatnot, and you are there for whatever reason, and this is a barn that seems to have been a front and a place to create test subjects for these two imbecile scientists who created sentient corn because whatever. And yeah, it's I've only played maybe an hour of it or so. I've gotten into the underground base, lab, whatever, what have you. And I ran into the corn talking to me. But it's just, it's not good, but I find it oddly compelling in the way you would find a, you know, 50 car pileup compelling, and just watching car after car after car after car hit each other and this massive destruction get bigger and bigger, because the story and the writing is ridiculous. It is insane, and it just keeps getting crazier and crazier and stupider and stupider. And I find myself wanting to see how stupid it gets, despite the fact that it's not fun to play or that well designed. Because the way it works is that there are puzzles, and they're not always that sensical, but it doesn't really matter, because every object you can interact with, whether it is to pick up or to do something with, is highlighted in big, bold white. You can't miss anything in the game. There are areas that are pitch black. You can't turn the light on until you turn the power on. You can't see that well in them. But it doesn't matter, because the object you need in that room will be highlighted in a way that no one could miss it. A blind person could see the crap in this game that is important. But the puzzles themselves are just kind of stupid. One of them had you pushing over a wardrobe to be able to get to the attic of this house. And in order to push over the wardrobe, you had to first get a box and a broken shovel handle in order to tip it over. Because you couldn't just push it over with your hands, because that makes sense. But you place the box in front of it, and then you use the shovel thing to tip it over, because that makes sense. Also, realistically, there was enough space that you could just slide through the side if you wanted to. There's a part where you have to use a severed hand, and the way you are able to get the hand out of the glove is by plugging up a sink and then filling it with vinegar, I believe it is, and putting the hand in there. And that was frustrating, because I went to the place that I needed the hand without doing that. And then I was like, oh, that was probably what that stupid bowl full of Vaseline, full of vinegar was for. But despite the fact that it isn't fun to play, it isn't challenging, and visually it's okay. It looks good from afar, but when you get close up to the textures and the models and all that, you can tell that it's not the best looking game. That doesn't matter. Because what keeps me wanting to play the game, despite not finding much enjoyment in the actual gameplay, is the story and how ridiculous it is. Because the writing is, it's trying so hard to be funny that I can't. It's unfathomable, but one of the examples, I'm going to give you some examples, and this first one is my favorite, because it sort of makes me think about the game in general, because you have objects that you can use in the game for puzzles and whatnot, and those are just your usable objects. Then you have your folio, which is where you collect important, quote-unquote, important items, and you'll get descriptions of them and all that jazz, and one of them is a mediocre rock. This is a rock you found near an outhouse. You don't know why you have it. It is absolutely mediocre in every way possible. Its name is Chauncey. And that really sums up the game as a whole, I think. I'm playing it. I don't know why I'm playing it. It's pretty mediocre in almost every way, but I'm going to keep playing it anyway. And the game's name is Chauncey. No, it's Maze. Then there is a one half of a diagram. A diagram, torn in half, contains very complicated looking equations scribbled in orange pen. A drawing of a person and a DNA helix. Looks very important. You tried to eat it at first, but changed your mind when you couldn't find any salt. Oh, that's so funny that you're an imbecile. A charred name tag. It took you several hours of staring, but you managed to deduce that the name tag, in fact, belongs to the dead person it was near, and that his name is Fernando. It took you several more hours to notice that the dead person was a lab assistant, and then 5 more minutes to realize you were trying to read the thing upside down the whole time. Oh, you're so silly because you're so stupid. Oh, silly you. And then the last is this weathered, tattered blueprint. Though it's hard to make out, this blueprint looks like it's for the construction of a very large and very poorly planned facility with a farm situated on top of it. The facility itself actually set an architectural record for having the largest number of corridors that lead absolutely nowhere. Congratulations. You've made a game that really ultimately leads nowhere. But yeah, it's on Xbox One. I think it might have come out on PC a little while ago, but it's on Xbox One and PS4 now, I believe, and it's $19.99, but has a launch sale of 25% off, so it's $14.99 right now. And I can't honestly recommend it, really, but I'm going to keep playing it, and if you're someone who just likes to play everything, go for it. It's insane. And I don't know what else to say about it. But that's not the only game I played. I also played a game called SUM: Speedrunners from Hell. I don't know what the SUM stands for, or if I'm supposed to pronounce it. SUM, Speedrunners from Hell. I don't know. This will be coming out on September 21st, but I believe it's been on PC, available on PC for months now. I remember getting lots of press releases for it when it launched and pre-launch, and chances to get codes for that version, but I held off, and I don't know if it's because I knew console versions were coming or because I just didn't find it that interesting. And maybe it was in early access at that point too, but I got a code for the Xbox One. It is currently on sale. You got a pre-order sale of whatever, I don't know, some percent off. It's $14.99 regularly, $12.74 on sale, and it is a first person speedrunning game that looks a lot like Quake, and has that Quake Doom feeling. The cover art and the style of the title in the cover art is very Doom-esque. It's got that heavy metal music and vibe to it, and it's really Quake or Doom without, I've finished the first area, or the first two, and I haven't run into any enemies, but, you know, there are swinging axes and stuff like that. But it's basically like someone took the aesthetic and the feel of Doom and Quake, and instead of having it be combat-based, they had it be focused on speedrunning levels and getting to an end as fast as you can. And they throw in some stuff to make it more challenging. I mean, you'll have spikes and whatever to avoid. And the thing about it is, it's actually pretty fun. I actually really like it. And I think they've made some really good design choices in bringing it to consoles and to a controller. Because I think, regardless of the stuff they've done to it to make it a little bit more accessible with a controller, the best way to play it would be with a mouse and keyboard, because just any first person, any fast paced first person twitch heavy game, I think ultimately always feels better with a mouse and keyboard, no matter how good the controls on a controller feel, or how they get you with the amount of control you will get and ability to make quick choices will always be superior with a mouse and keyboard. That said, it does feel really good with the controller, and it doesn't. The music's fine. It doesn't look all that great. It looks fine, but it feels really good with the controller because the movement and all that is fast, and that's fine. But there are times where you have to light torches and whatnot by throwing a fireball at them, and at first I thought this was really bad because it was hard to move and shoot at the same time and try to finish the level under par. But I realized that, because I saw on the menu there was this bullet time thing that you could turn on or off. And instead, when you fire the fireball with the left bumper, it will slow down time, and you can aim more precisely and not really lose all that much time. I think you might still take a bit of a hit. I'm not entirely sure, but I feel like there's probably a very, very slight hit to the time, the clock, just so that if you, because you can turn that off and just do it really, really quickly without any kind of pausing, that doing it that way would be more beneficial to get the best time. But being able to slow down time and adjust your aim really makes the hectic nature of it and trying to maneuver and do all these things very, very quickly with the controller much more manageable. So I really, really like that aspect of it. And then the levels themselves are designed well. They do throw in power-ups in certain spaces, in certain areas to add a little bit of variety. The only two I've run into, I don't know if there are any more, are one that lets you fly, so there'll be areas where you need to fly through rings and stuff like that, and you will pick up this power up and then you will be able to fly, and you have to be, it's very, very sensitive, so you have to really be careful when you're doing that. And then there's another power up that lets you teleport. You throw, in the same way that you throw your fireball, you throw this ball, and then where it lands you will teleport to. And you can chain these, so you can teleport, throw the ball, and then where it is in the in midair, you'll be able to teleport there as well. So you can chain it and try to get through things very quickly, but you only have a minimal number of uses with that. But it feels really good. But yeah, I've played through the first two areas, and I really, really like it, much to my surprise. I thought a first-person platformer that was all about speed running and being really fast-paced would be horrible on a controller, but it actually feels really, really good. It's very responsive, and it's a lot of fun to play. And like Super Meat Boy or Trials or other such games that will end in failure very often, you can quickly just restart a level by pressing the Y button, and there's no real delay at all. I don't even think, you know, there's a fraction of a second delay when you do that. So that's really nice as well. There is a bit of a delay when you are returning to the level select area and the main menu and all that. The load times are not terrible, but maybe around 15, 20 seconds. And that's getting a bit long if you are wanting to play, if you're wanting to go back and play levels to improve your time, and you know, you're just picking and choosing the ones, it takes a bit of time in that sense. You can quickly move on to the next level, but if you're not trying to improve your times on every single level in the area one by one by one, that can, you know, just provide a bit of a hiccup. But other than that, I really like Speedrunners from Hell. I would definitely recommend picking it up if you are... I'm just thinking of the 20 things. Do you like first-person platforming? Then you're going to like Speedrunners from Hell. But if you do like first-person platforming, and I don't know if there are many people who really do, I guess if you're a fan of Mirror's Edge and whatnot, I would say definitely check it out. I'm not a huge fan of first-person platformers, but I really enjoyed my time with Speedrunners from Hell so far, and I think it could get very, very challenging, but so far it hasn't been too brutal. You have to at least get a basic part-time, sort of like a silver trophy, on all the levels to and finish the boss level to unlock the elevator to the next level, but I haven't had too much trouble with it so far, so that's good as well. It's not so challenging that you might pick it up and not be able to get through the first area, or maybe you won't. I'm getting old, and I'm not the gamer I once was. But that will do it for today's episode. I hope y'all enjoyed it, and I would definitely love to hear any feedback or questions or anything at all about the idea of doing Twine reviews. But yeah, once again, I'm your host, Mark Cusinez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, MyAnimeList, and Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage. On PSN, I am TheKush3. I've just been reminded that I will hopefully be streaming some art making very soon. I was having a lot of trouble trying to get two cameras to work at the same time, and I think I'm just going to give up on that and just focus on the actual camera that's shooting the art. And I finally got it set up in a way that it will actually be focused and be clear. The image will be clear, which is nice as well. So I think I'll probably test that out in the next few days. So look forward to that. And if all goes well with that, I'll probably maybe try to stream at least an hour a day. I think it'll be good to do that. And yeah, so there's that. And of course, this site is pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal podcast, as well as the art I do, which I just talked about. You can find all of that on the site or by going to the special URL, pxsart.com, which really just takes you to pixelatedsausage.com/art/illustrations or some crap like that. But who cares? It's an easy way to see all the art and to get links to where you can purchase prints of the pieces you like if you feel so inclined to do so. And if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, you can chip in a few bucks or whatever over at patreon.com/pxs.